Hey, everybody. Welcome to another new episode of the Pulling on Heaven podcast. I am so honored to be here. My name is Steve Blinn, and I'm so honored to be here with Pastor Gary Zamora.
Hey, Steve.
This is his show, and I just am...
And this is the best one. I mean, this is the... This is the very best one to date. I mean, all the others were the best when they... When they were here.
Yes.
But they're not here.
But they're
right
not
now.
Here.
So this is the best.
Because there's only today.
Only today. And today is the greatest season of your life.
That's right. I always loved the saying, and I brought it up before, that something that once blew my mind was when you talked about, we always think of God, the I am, as being eternally old, right? Yeah. But he's the now I am, so he's eternally now.
He's eternally new.
Yeah.
Young, youthful, life-giving. Yeah, you know what? We were talking about spectrum and light and different things just prior to going on the podcast here, that invisible realm isn't invisible. You know, I mean, it is, but it's in a different way. And I've said this many times, invisible simply means it's there, or it wouldn't be an invisible dynamic. It's
right.
There.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just not seen through a natural lens. We can't see with our eyes, but there are lenses by which we can see those invisible dynamics. And that really is what changes everything. It's saying this is the greatest season of our lives. When you're saying, how could that possibly
yeah,
be?
Yeah, it doesn't look like this at all.
Yeah, it doesn't look like the greatest day. It looks like the worst day of my life. And that's why starting the podcast today, I want that framework in everyone's mind. And that's what you build on, because according to your faith, it happens.
Yeah.
And so trigger that today. You know, be triggered in a positive way by this is the greatest season of
absolutely
my life.
And it's so funny, you know, when you think about the things that when people hear a statement like that and they go, well, how could that be given the circumstances that I'm in? But you think about all the other things we have to believe for just the foundation of our faith, you know, that Jesus Christ died and resurrected. We didn't see that happen. We weren't there for that. You know, that's something that becomes a conviction in our hearts, but we were there for that. We have a belief that we're going to be with him again, and we don't see that.
No,
you know?
Have to kind of wait to the end to see the beginning.
Right.
So
it's fundamental to faith of the invisible, but it seems like it becomes this challenge for us to accept that in the like right now.
But it shows up. What is so great is I've had in my life more times than I could count the invisible show up. Mm. And you go, wow. I didn't see it, but I see it now. And that's the whole point. God's saying, you don't see this, but I want you to see it now. Remember, the disciples met some disciples at one point, and they said, how is it they, because you said, you know, we've never seen.
Yeah.
And they said, how is it they believe like we do, never having seen what we have? How is that? How is that? And it really is the Holy Spirit on the inside, the Spirit of God, that invisible dynamic. And we seem to end up here a lot because faith looks for the treasures and the mysteries that the eye cannot find and that the natural carnal mind can't calculate. You know, it's kind of obscure. It's hidden. It appears to be somewhere else. And it is in the, we actually did a podcast last week, and we were talking about the importance of this single moment. But at the same time, we want to see today the value of what we do today show up tomorrow in a greater light. Or, I mean, we're essentially, you know, a creation searching for the better. You know, every day, it's just like, no matter what happens, there's always a better. And that's the eternal youth. Mm-hmm. That's the eternal dynamics of the Spirit of God that dwells in us. And what we're created to do is to see what we can't see on our own.
Yeah,
that makes us dependent on Christ. That brings us into unity. And then that's where today begins. This is the greatest. I wonder how everyone's life would change if they just lost their mind like I have, literally, you know, casting down every thought and imagination and say, this is the greatest day of my life. Maybe you get an email or a phone call and says, hey, you know, something presents itself as a challenge, or just waking up to it to challenge. You know, maybe your bathtub, you forgot to turn it off and it flooded the house, whatever. And you just say, It's the greatest season of my life. I had something happen just recently. My bathtub didn't overflow, but I was trying to connect some dots and put some things together, and everything seemed to be aloof. It just seemed to be, you know, it was like it was just avoiding me. And I'm thinking that sense of it's trying to hide from me is God leading me where he wants me to go without necessarily saying, come here, I want you to look at this. And you know what's so powerful about mm-hmm. that is your faith just is inclined inertly, by nature to just go there.
Yeah.
And you find yourself walking and thinking, God, you know, it's like walking into a dark room and you can't see, but you're confident your steps are going to be sure. You're not going to run into a wall. You're not going to fall over something. And you find yourself, you know, from point A way over here somewhere to point X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. And you learn how to have confidence in the faith of God in you. And that really is a transforming dynamic,
yeah.
Kind of hunting the ghost, you know.
That's cool. I love that.
Hunting the ghost of mystery.
Wow. Well, and what's cool, what's interesting about God, it seems like if there's such a sense of mastering a level, let's call it, bring it, I guess, to a video game parlance or something like that, you know, of walking in that dark room. Now, now there is a way, there's a way, you talked a lot about infrared. I'd love to get some more into that, but they now have goggles you can wear, let's say night vision or infrared vision, so that you could walk into that same dark room now, and it's no longer even by faith, because now you're seeing it. So
your
at one point we had to walk
something.
Through the darkness by faith, but then through ingenuity we've been able to then now we can master that. But and I feel like God is always almost like pulling us deeper, you know, pulling us farther. And once we're comfortable with one level, he's like, well, there's way more than me than any single experience that you're going to have.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. William Herschel in the 1800s, I was looking for, and everyone knows this, but just the evidence of the invisible showing up in such a huge way, was wanted to see the different temperatures based on the color spectrum of light,
mm-hmm.
and or at least the spectrums that he could see with his natural eyes. So he puts all these little gauges out and he's checking the temperature. And as he got closer to red, it got a little bit warmer. You were from blue to red. It showed up to be a little more heat radiating from that specific color. And then he laid one down just beside the red, and that one registered the highest, and it was invisible. And thus, you know, found or discovered, as it were, there's infrared light, which you can't see. But it can see you. You know, it's all over the place. You know, it's noted by its ability to radiate a certain temperature. And so, because we see it, something's there, because something's moving the meter. You know, something's moving the needle. Something has to be happening. God wants us to see our needle move. You know, you can't see it, but something, God's leading me to a place where it's moving my needle. I'm sensing God's doing something, but I can't see it.
Yeah.
And the tendency is to stop, you know, find a bus stop, just hang out and wait. And God's call to us is not find a bus stop. It's cross the bridge. Bridges were made to be crossed, because there's something from the first step you take, middle to the other side, God wants you to see this very valuable to who you are and what God has called you to be and created you to be. And it's that invisible notes in our lives that just kind of keep nudging us. And if you'll just do, you know, that's why it's so important. If you'll just do this, this is the greatest season of my life, regardless of what you're going through. I really took that from, you know, I didn't really make it up. I got it from the 23rd Psalm. Only good and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. So I took it as only good can happen to me, which is literally what it means. Only good can happen to me, regardless of the challenge. Who said it's bad? Something good's happening. That invisible dynamic that God wants us to hunt the ghost of wonder, hunt the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you. Holy Ghost, Spirit. God says, I'm not a man, so you can't look at me in the way you'd look at a man. I'm a spirit, and I'm not man set to tendencies that make him or challenge him to lie. I can't lie. I'm God. I'm holy, and I'm a spirit. And that's where we came from.
Yeah.
That's our DNA. That's our the real origin of who we are. And then we take on this shell, and then we have the tendency to lower our expectations and to dial down the level of great things are going to happen, because we do what the word says: don't live by sight, live by faith. And it's really learning to seek the ghost that we're filled with, the spirit that we're filled with. Where is he leading? Where is he guiding? And then keep it in mind, the word says the Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God, deep, unseen, invisible things of God, and he wants to reveal them to us by revealing them through us, just like the kingdom of God. You're not going to stand there and look at it and go, you couldn't, I mean, William Herschel couldn't see that light. He couldn't see that spectrum, even though he was looking for it, but he laid out kind of a margin of different spectrums to say, let's just research, let's look and see. And as believers, we need to do that. Where could my faith take me today? Yeah. What can I do that exceeds what I need? And we talked about that Sunday. We know the God that meets our needs. We know the God that heals, the God that blesses, the God. But do we know the God beyond our needs? Do we know God in that way?
Yeah.
Beyond what would be beyond the red light that we can see? Well, infrared. And now we have created, you know, through technology, innovation, we've created lenses where now we can look for it. We can find it whenever we want it. Look through a lens and see what was invisible. God gives us a lens. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear. An eye to see, let's see what God is saying and doing. That's today. Today, and that's what changes the world into God is doing a new thing. He's doing a brand new thing. That could be a song. God is doing it.
Well, and what's to get there? It seems like when you know what beyond our needs, beyond what is God doing, what is God saying, what is God thinking beyond that spectrum beyond. But to get there, I think the one thing we have to do is get beyond ourselves. Because instead of looking for God in dealing with my circumstances or needs to whatever, whether superficial or dire, you know, he's so much more than that.
Yeah.
And it's like when we can think of him or we can approach him, desire to relate to him in that level beyond what those needs are, then I think of consider the lilies of the field, you know, because it's like, let's stop thinking about that and let's stop asking God for things and stuff, even things he puts on our heart. It's more, how do we go there?
Yes.
How do we get to that place where we're seeking God on that level?
You know, what is that? What would that be like? The word says, and we say this all the time because Jesus said, think, pray this way. You know, your kingdom come, your will be done. And seek first. Seek the secret.
Yeah.
Seek for the ghost. You know, look for the. I was watching someone not too long ago. They were flying an RC glider, this big RC glider, and I've never done that before. I don't know that I've ever even seen it, experienced someone flying one. And I was asking some questions about it because I was just curious. You know, intrigued me to a degree because there was no power.
Yeah.
Seemingly no power to lift this thing. And this guy says, we're hunting thermals. It's like chasing a ghost, he said.
Wow.
And I said, ah, interesting. So he said, and you know what's really good? He said, you know how we're judged if we're in a competition is we're judged by how low we can take off and catch the thermal and how high we end up at the end.
Wow.
And so he's like, you know, I'm gonna demonstrate. So he launches his little, well, actually it was pretty good size, glider, and it starts down low, and I watch him just, you know, it's just like he's just going back and forth, but he's not just rocking back and forth. He's searching for a ghost. He's looking for that thermal lift, and it's interesting because he said, I'm finding the thermal lifts more out that way is where I seem to keep ending up. Sure enough, as he started, his plane started to gain altitude, and he just keep rocking back and forth. And it's kind of like in our lives, you know, just listen. Sometimes instead of praying, we should, it's kind of like, hi, God, I want to hear what you have to say. Thank you for this day. What is it? What mystery, what ghost, what spirit of wonder, what spirit of revelation do you have today. Every day means something in your spirit. So there has to be a spiritual significance, a dynamic that's going to change and elevate my ability to think. So I'm more like you want me to be. You know, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ. But he kept flying. And before it took, it seemed like literally minutes. And he has this plane, has to be at least a couple, 200-300 feet in the air. And way out there, no power.
Jeez.
Just the initial get it out there and hunt the ghost and let it elevate you.
Wow.
And he had it way, way, way out there. And I said, that's amazing. And he says, yeah. He said, I've got a really good thermal here. It's just, and it kept going up and up. And then I asked him something. And I realized I kind of ruined the whole show. That's what I said. I said, can you bring it back? Like anytime you want, can you bring it back? And he said, oh yeah. And so a few minutes he had it turned and here it came and he brought it right in and right into his hand.
Oh, wow.
And I said, that's really cool. He says, yeah. And another guy stepped up and said this. He said, wow, that was great. He said, yeah. He said, you know, if I had flown like this during the last competition, I would have won. He said, but I shortened the flight because, meaning me, he asked me if I could bring it in and I just wanted to show him. Sometimes we just say, God, just can we just bring it back? Can we bring it down?
Wow.
You know, I mean, this, you know, I'm not used to it. Get comfortable with the unusual. Get comfortable with the ghost, the Holy Ghost. Get comfortable with where he'll take you and where he will lead you. And if we could just, you said it, if we just get over ourselves for a minute, God, you know, help me this or help me. God, get over the you for just a minute. God, where are you going to take me? Where would you take me in the spirit? Remember when Peter falls asleep and he wakes up? I mean, he's in a vision. God shows him you know, basically don't call anything
unclean
right? Yeah. that I've made clean. In other words, I've got it. Trust me and let my voice be in you so we make a difference. And that's what it was. Make a difference and don't call it back. Don't be so anxious to come back down, to come back to where you were. You know, win the competition. You know, go higher than you've ever flown before. Hunt the ghost.
Wow.
Hunt the ghost and let the ghost take you. It's that catching away moment. What is it going to be like when heaven and earth meet, when Christ comes? Let that catching away happen right now. Let's experience some of that today.
Yeah. Wow, that is so cool, because the idea that needing to see the tangibility of our faith, actually, even if God were to show it, he's by default then has to kind of cut short where he wants to take us.
Yeah.
In order to do that, versus us trusting him to just keep going until we get where he wants us to go.
Yeah, exactly. You know, another dynamic, interesting. There's some kind of a plant, like a, I don't know if it's a power plant, it's some kind of a government plant out here where they were flying these things. And the guy says to me, he said, we just have to stay away from that because that's kind of forbidden territory,
yeah, yeah.
You know? And so there's those things. What would that forbidden territory be in this scenario, when you analogize, you know, a glider looking for thermals to create the lift, how would you analogize that with our spiritual walk and what to stay away from? And what to stay away from is the impossible. Nothing is impossible. My wife and girls were watching an old Disney movie the other night, and I heard one of the characters say something about something being impassable, and they said, well, it's not impassable, or it's not impossible, it's impassable. And you have to meet the criteria of being able to pass through. What do we stay away from? That anything is impossible.
Yeah.
We stay away from that idea. Let faith blind you to the impossible, so the impossible no longer exists in your mind. And catch a thermal. Let the Holy Spirit, let the ghost take you where he wants you to go. And what we stay away from is that's impossible, or that's too hard, or I can't, or I'm not qualified, or I've never done it before. Awesome. You know, I've never done it before. I've never been there before. And there was a newscaster I was talking to a couple of weeks ago, and I was introduced him to for the first time, and he said, you know, I was asked if I wasn't doing what I'm doing now, I've been asked this before, what would I like to do? And he looks at me and he says, I'd like to do what you do. And he says, but, you know, I've never been to seminary. I don't have the qualifications. I don't know the scriptures like you know, and blah, blah. And I said, you know what? I said, you have vision. And yeah. I said, you see something in a way that's unique to you. And I just was able to share with him for a minute. When I finished, he said, thank you for that. Well, what do you do? Well, I showed him the ghost. You know, the vision, casting not away your confidence, which has a recompense of great reward. See the vision, look for the vision, hunt for the vision, listen for that silent voice, look for the invisible instead of what we need God to do. Hunt for the ghost. Look for something you might not even think you need. God, what would make you happy? What would please you? What would make me a great experience to you? If I could hunt the ghost by faith, if I could look for a treasure, a hidden thing, a secret, if I could do that by faith, what would excite the kingdom of God? Mm-hmm. Let me do that, because remember, it's all God.
Yeah.
And he created these vessels to do that, to hunt the ghost, to look for the thermal, to look to be lifted up. He said, if you exalt yourself, you humble yourself, he said, I'll exalt you. What does that mean? I'm looking for the ghost. I'm hunting the secret. I'm looking for the invisible treasures of God. And the word says there's so many and so much, his thoughts towards us, we could never count them all. Yeah. Let's look for what we can't see. You know, let's hunt the ghost.
Well, what's fascinating that to me, and what really ministers and speaks to me personally about that, is even as you already mentioned a little bit about the idea of the bus stop versus the bridge, and the idea of how we think that, you know, okay, waiting on God's a good thing. And then we sit there and we just wait. We wait for God to do something, or God wants to do something through us. And so that was like, you know, the children of Israel going through the Red Sea, that was a bridge, you know, and they could have camped out and thought that they were at a bus stop. Mm. Okay, this is as far as we can go. We're just going to sit here and wait. And it was, let's keep going. And I think I look at my own life and my own career, and I feel like so much of it actually has been like parked at this bus stop, right? Even though I have this desire to go across the bridge and this desire, but I think what's interesting, so many times you go, okay, if God gave me a staff like Moses to raise, which direction, if I'm sitting here at this bus stop, which direction am I gonna raise it to? And the things you go, well, I tried this and I tried this and I tried that, but even in our talk now, thinking about it, it's this thought where so many of the things that I'm thinking about of trying to find that direction of breakthrough to go by faith is all these things that in some ways make sense are the things that I can make this. Well, this would take me here and this would take me here and this would take me there versus what's the crazy, you know, where's the ghost? And it may not look like any of the things that I think could possibly get me there, even by faith to step out of. Yeah. And where can I go that's going to take, maybe it's a totally different route, but it might actually be the very fastest route to get me where I want to go.
Sometimes the longest route is the best route because it takes you in your mind where you need to go.
Yeah.
Instead of a lifetime, maybe you can do it in 40 days or even if it's 40 years, you know.
Right.
It's, and it all depends on what you know, what are you going to make your social life? You know, is it the things around you that make you comfortable? And, you know, that's how you learn to familiarize yourself with what you know. This is what I would like to do. If I had, you know, all the money in the world, what would I do? What if the answer was, I have no clue. I'd ask God.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have anything. If I had all the money in the world that I would want to do, because if God gave me that, the only question would be, God,
what do you want me to
show
do?
Me the ghost.
Yeah.
What would you do, you know, which in a vessel that I'm in, that you dwell in, what would you do with me with that in my hands? What would you do with all the influence? If I had all the influence in the world, if I, you know, whatever you're, you know, that kind of beyond the realm of possibility in a natural mind, what would the impossible look like in me?
Yeah.
Is really the question. And I, you know, the road, the first step to that road is, what is your conviction regarding the kingdom of God? Take a step in that direction. You know, some maybe it's just, you know, it's being able to do something that I've never done before and going beyond the border of what I want it to look like and just saying, God, here's a canvas and a paintbrush, and I believe you're going to work through my mind and you're going to draw a picture for me through me.
Yeah.
And that's what the Spirit of God, that's what the Holy Spirit does in us. He does through us exceeding abundant beyond. Why? Well, because the Word says He searches the heart of God. Why? So He can reveal to us what the heart of God is. Why? So we know it. And I love the scripture, Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and generations of our family beyond us or after us. And what I hear God saying is, I want to show you the ghost. I want to reveal the mystery, the treasure. Remember, He said, go to the upper room and just wait, but it wasn't waiting. And here's the waiting issue. They went up there with anticipation of taking something, of getting something. The Holy Spirit didn't come and get them. The Holy Spirit came and indwelt them.
Yeah.
And this bus stop idea that I was talking about is this analogy is we sat and wait for God to take us somewhere. Go somewhere in faith. Don't wait anywhere in faith. Go somewhere. Go somewhere in faith. Follow a conviction. I mean, we have a conviction, and if we don't, hit our knees and say, God, give me a conviction, and just do something. If there's a fear, well, then tackle that by faith. You know, when they broke the sound barrier, they referred to it as assaulting, making an assault on the sound barrier. And when they did, they found out there was no barrier at all.
Yeah.
It was just an understanding. This is how subsonic air affects an aircraft when you hit supersonic speed. You know, let's do it. Let's go there.
Sure. Yeah. So much of our limitations are so self-imposed, or
always,
or not even, and maybe not even self-imposed, like,
or believed.
Yeah. Or just believed and understood. You know, when you brought up that sound barrier analogy on Easter, which I told everyone that I spoke to that day on Easter with family, like what an amazing analogy that was. And it made me think of my own experience. Something's kind of like that, not quite the same or as momentous by any means. But when I played college football, and when I was really good.
You were a wall I would not have wanted to run into, especially a moving wall.
it helped to have the size that I do. It certainly did. But in high school, I was thought of as a really good player, but I wasn't like a super nationally known player, you know, like that. But I mean, I did. I played at UCLA, which is a big time program. That was back when UCLA was really good at the time. We've fallen a little bit, but anyways, when I got to UCLA as a freshman, you go in there and, you know, usually as a freshman, less so now, but back when I played, you know, you're pretty much the whole first season, you're like a tackling dummy. You know, you play on the scout offense, the defense, you know, running the plays that the other teams are going to do and all that kind of stuff. And you're playing against these guys that have been there, right? But the thing that was most remarkable to me in just the first week of being there was that these guys, it wasn't that they were so big and strong and experienced, it was their quickness, okay? And the thing was, is that I didn't know, now I was never the fastest guy either, but it wasn't about speed, it was about quickness and thinking quick. And I didn't know that it was impossible to play that quick. And you quickly had to. You had to just to survive. Adapt. You figured out, in the depth of what that was, to play that at least comparably more quickly than you could. Uh-huh. And it had nothing to do, it wasn't like I suddenly, this was in the first week. This had nothing to do with, you know, being on some new weight program, doing this, doing anything. It was just like, oh, up close to these guys, they move that quick. To survive, I have to figure out how to move that quick. And soon I was at least coming closer to that. And the thing was that I remember thinking, like, if I could have at that point, 1 week of being a freshman playing major college football and just in practices, gone back to high school, what I learned about myself in that 1 week of just a different perspective and mindset, I would have been all American going back to high school. Wow. You know, and that's that same, you don't think you can go past the sound barrier, yeah. And then you go past it and it's like easy. I didn't know I could perform, that was even possible. You just didn't think to go that quick. You didn't think to do that. You were going as fast as you thought you could go, and you got thrown into a situation where it's like sink or swim on a whole other level, and you actually can. You're like, I didn't know that part of my brain or that part of my anything exists.
Wake up, right?
And how much of that is the things we look at this life and the things God calls us to do?
Well, it's that word, nothing, all things are possible. It's you adapt and overcome. You go, yeah. Hey, wait a minute. Let's become a part of this. You know, when you're saying it, I'm thinking, think first, you know, think fresh, think God.
Yeah.
You know, how think light, how fast is that?
Yeah.
Nothing travels quite that fast yet. God, how fast? And it is. And the things that we encounter today that people call challenges, that James refers to as count it all joy, those are the things that awaken that ability to adapt and overcome, right?
Yes.
To hear, to see, to understand. But you just said it. I would never even thought. I'm moving as fast and as hard as I can. And sometimes it's the effort that hinders us instead of the
true.
Understanding that promotes us.
Wow.
And once you see and go, wait, God said, I can do this. I can do it. You know what?
Say that again real fast, though. That was such a, it's the effort?
It's the effort that hinders us.
And the understanding.
That promotes us. And it's because we're working too hard trying to make the best of this instead of seeing the best and adapting, and then we overcome.
Yes.
It's being led by the Spirit. You know, when they broke the sound barrier, what they found is when they hit that speed, I think it was around 600-700 miles an hour in the air, that the aircraft would just start to shake apart and they'd lose the ability, the input on the control surfaces just wouldn't respond. So it felt like didn't have any control. So they'd have back off, slow down, just like the guy, bring the plane back in so I can show you, but now the flight's over. You know, the ghost is gone. But it's still there, but you have to hunt for it. But what they found is they realized that a 50 caliber bullet could break the sound barrier. So it could be done.
Yeah.
And the question is can we do that?
Yeah.
And the answer was, yeah. And the guy was, you know, Chuck Yeager was at a disadvantage, probably in more than one respect. Number one, you know, other aircraft designers and things were competing. You know, they were trying to beat them, and other branches of the service were trying to beat them to the race to break the sound barrier. But they realized that if a 50 caliber bullet could do this, he had a disadvantage because the night before he had fallen, he was horseback riding, fell and broke, I think it was three ribs. And so he had a hard time even climbing into the craft. And I guess no one knew, but he climbed in, had to shut the door with a broomstick handle, you know, or a broomstick in order to get the door closed. But regardless what the adversity is, understanding can overcome that all. And the word of God is the power to understand beyond the effort and to gain the ability to adapt and to overcome. Mm. And that's, you know, that's the dimensions of that God wanted to introduce to Adam and Eve in the garden. Tell me what this animal is. You know, Adam could have said, I have no idea. And I don't know, maybe he did. And maybe God could have said something like, listen for that still small voice. What is this? It's an elephant. It's an elephant, right, God? That is the name thereof, you know? What about this? And you just listen for the voice of God. You will hear it. My sheep know my voice. You have to rely on the word as the word of Almighty God that it is true. Get that understanding. Yeah. God is present. God is good. God is faithful. His word is true. And he abides in me. And hear, my sheep know my voice. Listen. That's a lion, right, God? Yes, this is my interpretation, you know. Absolutely. That is a lion. You're right, Adam. Adam hearing the mind of God, because we know we don't create or come up with anything outside of God, even if people think they do. He is all things. All things were created by him, for him, and through him. And without him, there isn't anything that is made or created. But we get to experience that life of who God is by the Spirit of God. And it's looking for those impossible dynamics and just putting your across the bridge. The point about a bus stop is we wait to be carried away. The day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and filled them, and then they were carried away by the Spirit that was in them instead of waiting for someone to just come and move us. Yeah. You know, as soon as God shows me the way, well, you know what? That way is on the inside of you. If you open your eyes, take a step, just like you did, you're on the playing field. Okay, you wouldn't have done it if you hadn't have seen other people doing what you didn't know, as you, in your words, was even possible to do. And you became the guy doing it.
Yeah.
You know, same thing. That's why the word says, I meditate on your law day and night, and I keep my mind stayed on you because I trust in you. And it's not that you have to sit there and just go, I keep my mind. It's not that. It's just God is with me at all times. He's leading me in the way I should go. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. So it just doesn't matter, because then there is no weapon. The Lord will lead and guide me in the way of favor. You know, all these scriptures that just tell us God is present with us, and then our mind takes on an understanding, and the effort that hinders us goes to sleep. And the understanding that awakens us gives us the advantage, and we become someone we knew we couldn't be, all because we believe the word of God. We hunted the ghost.
Hunted the ghost. Yeah. What a phrase. I love that.
Yeah.
Man, well, I don't know what else we can add to this conversation.
Well, we could add a lot more.
I'm sure, but you know what? Sometimes this is a good amount to digest, I think, in that sense, man. And as we go out this week, everybody, I encourage you to be hunting the ghost,
yeah,
and know that spectrum of what's going on is so beyond what we can see, but it doesn't mean that it's not there. Yeah. Pastor, thank you so much for having me today, and
the
amazing wisdom that God continues to pour through you.
Always so exciting and such a joy. And you know what? God says things that are so relevant, so current, so now. And it's always good. Where two or three are gathered together, there I am in their midst. So God's with us. Thank you, Steve.
Absolutely.
Until next time.